Okay, so I was watching David Letterman the other week.
Yeah.
And I heard this really, really great story, actually. And there was this guy, I can't actually remember his name, and he was a guest on Letterman. And he was like an old buddy of Frank Sinatra, right? And obviously Frank Sinatra is dead now, I think, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, this is old classy guy. He's the kind of guy that, you know, is like kind of Rat Pack style, like little like Silver Foxy. He's got the gray hair going on, nice mm-hmm. suit. You know, kind of classy guy that you always want to hang out with kind of deal, right?
Okay.
I don't know. The old crooner style. Anyways, not the point of the story.
Okay.
So he's telling this story that had a really great message, actually. And it kind of went like this. Basically, he hung out with Sinatra a lot. And he noticed that Sinatra would kind of give away a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So one day after a show, there's this fan of this girl who came up to him and he's like, "Oh, Frank, I'm such a great fan of yours. Can you sign my booklet or whatever?" And yeah. That'd be great. So Sinatra comes out and he signs the booklet. And then the girl's like, "Oh, I really like your cufflinks. They're really nice." And Sinatra, you know, said, "Oh, you really do?" So he takes them off and he gives the cufflinks to the girl, yeah. right? Now, it turns out these cufflinks were $2,000.
Holy God.
And this is like back in the day, right? So it's like a lot of money. These are like really crazy amounts of cufflinks, right?
Yeah.
So his friend, this guy who's on Letterman, kind of like, okay, that's a really great gesture or whatever. So they're in the car later. And then the friend asks Sinatra, he asks him, "You know, that was really nice of you, but those are $2,000 cufflinks. How come you gave them away like that?" And Sinatra says, "Listen, if you possess anything that you can't give away, you don't possess it. It possesses you." Isn't that a great message?
That is a nice message.
Now, I was thinking a lot about this, and I was thinking about how what a great message this was, and I'm spreading it around to people. And I've been thinking a while, like, you know what? I'm going to put this on the podcast. Now, here's the funny bit about this whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Because usually when you hear a nice message like that, usually it's the person who says it, or you're quoting the person who says it, right? But now, it's like, if someone were to listen to our podcast and quote this story, it would be like, "Oh, I heard that on a podcast who heard it from a guy who heard it from Sinatra," right? So there's this huge redirect. Yeah, it's not, it kind of loses its effect, right? Yeah. It's no longer the
Well, they could just say what Frank Sinatra did.
The possessing thing, right?
At one point. Yeah.
But then you're kind of claiming, you know, you're claiming rights to something that really doesn't belong to you.
Sure, why not?
Welcome to the ETC Podcast, episode 24, on this wonderful, wonderful, I don't even know what day it is today, April 5th, 2009. Yes. Yeah. I know we've been off for a long time, but we're back, and apparently people are starting to listen again. This is your one-stop shop for entertainment, technology, and cars. My name is Casey Lee, and sitting next to me, as always, is...
Actually behind you.
Well, yeah, it's exactly. Weird. I guess behind you this time is...
Aaron Sedenker.
You kind of ruined our regular thing that we say and by pointing out the technicality of our recording studio now.
Yeah.
Guillemots. All right. Moving
Rock
on.
Band. What?
We got Rock Band, Guitar Hero, all this stuff that we say every now and then. We got a lot to talk about, and because of that, we're going to do a double fat episode for you guys, and I thank our fans for listening.
I apologize because I'm barely prepared for one, and again.
As always. So really, you should apologize for all the last 23 episodes.
Yeah.
24 episodes, though. This is pretty impressive. We're going strong. The first thing I want to mention is that Lost is getting good again, and I just wanted to drop that in as a little bit because it's going back to the old formula of the great show, and it's back, and I want to congratulate Lost for coming back to what the fans really like. Let's start with the news. Do you have anything?
I have stuff, but I mean, I've been like saving things up since the last time we recorded, which was
February 16th, your birthday, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. Okay, this is going to be old stuff. Let's see. Did you hear about NASA had a competition or a contest to name a new module on the International Space Station?
I did not hear that.
So they put it out to the public, right? Mm-hmm. And they gave some suggestions, and you know, and then they said that, you know, they would take these results from this little contest, and then they would, you know, if they thought it was good, whatever one, then they'll pick it. But anyway, so Stephen Colbert, he decided on his show to tell, you know, everyone who watches and all his fans to vote for his name.
All right.
So he just put it up, Colbert. And yeah, that.
Oh, like his submission was Colbert.
Yeah,
for the name of the module.
Yeah, and then that ended up winning.
What?
Yeah, so that got it's closed now. So that was the top.
So that's going to be the name of the module?
No. Well, I'm going to guess no, because NASA's going to, you know, weed through it and say that's not appropriate or something like that.
What? Why is it not appropriate?
I don't know.
Colbert is like a name, whatever.
Yeah, sure. So
wow.
So yeah, that's what won. And perhaps there'll be a module on the National Space Station called Colbert.
Wow.
So yeah.
That's a little crazy. Okay, speaking of talk show hosts, like Colbert and Letterman, so since we last did our podcast, Conan ended his show late night. It was a gracious exit.
Yes.
Actually, if you guys haven't seen it yet, get your hands on it somehow. We're not gonna support downloading illegal stuff, but get your hands on the late night Conan last show. His last speech is unbelievable. Just a really heartfelt thing. And I don't think you'll get that genuine feeling when Leno leaves or when Letterman leaves. It's just there's something so genuine about Conan, and he's a very modest guy, and he's very classic.
He almost cried.
He almost cried, which was really great. I'm not here to really talk about that, though. What I'm here to talk about is his replacement, Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
So we all know Jimmy Fallon came in, and we all knew that it wouldn't be as good as Conan, because Conan is kind of like the late night host of our generation, right?
Yeah.
And in all honesty, it's like, you know, Jimmy Fallon stepping, he's got a lot of big shoes to fill, and it's just he won't ever be able to live up to that name, right? Even though he may be great. I want to kind of give my short synopsis and short review of Late Night with Fallon so far. So the first week, actually his first show ever was pretty bad. It was actually not so good. He wasn't great at being a talk show host. He wasn't good at like talking to De Niro and stuff like that. And they seemed to lace the entire show with all these kind of gimmicky skits, right?
Right.
And not only like at the beginning, you know, where a lot of talk shows do that, but even during the interviews and stuff like that, they would lace it with all these kind of skitty jokes. And it didn't work for me, right? And maybe it really works for Fallon, because Fallon is used to being a skit kind of... He was on SNL, right?
Right.
So that didn't really work for me. As the show went on, though, he got better and better, and up till now, he's actually doing a very good job, I think. He's not going to be any Conan, but Conan's been doing this for like 16 years now, right?
That's true. So
I'm sure Fallon at 16 years will be great at it, right? But right now, I think he's gotten a lot better, and he's kind of starting to find his groove. And, you know, The Roots, you know, it's really cool to have as the house band.
Yeah, that is a cool thing.
Which is a very cool thing. And it's, you know, very our generation-y. Yeah. And the skits are getting funnier, which is good. And then when he actually has the guests on to talk, he actually has some serious conversations with it. What I really like, though, is that there's a lot of guests coming onto his show, and they're really, really supporting him, because they know this is like a new thing for him, and they know he's stepping into a territory that's very hard to live up to.
That's true.
And I just like that people aren't giving him a really hard time, right? Because when it comes down to it, like, he's not a guy who's coming into the job thinking that he's all that, right? He is a very modest guy, and he respects Conan like crazy. He respects like Mike Myers and all the past SNL people like crazy.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm glad that people aren't giving him a really hard time about stepping into this role.
Yeah.
So as a whole, like, a lot of people are supporting him. A lot of people are bringing him gifts and stuff like that. So it's very cool. So I think, you know, it's not as good as Conan, but it's he's doing a pretty good job so far. So
I haven't watched a single show yet. So
well, you should.
I think I just miss Conan too much.
Yeah, it's not too bad. So Conan's going to start up back on the Tonight Show in June. So keep your dials tuned to that.
And Jay Leno is apparently not going anywhere.
Leno's going to 10 o'clock. Now here's the crazy thing about Leno going to 10 o'clock. Right?
Yeah.
I thought Leno going to 10 o'clock, he would kind of change the format of the show. Blah blah blah. Apparently, it's going to be the exact same format. It's going to be the same crew filmed in the same studio. It's going to be essentially the same show.
I really don't get this, but all right.
Yeah, it's going to be the same show. Well, I guess because NBC is lacking ratings. And the only thing saving them is the Tonight Show and Conan. So
yeah.
So stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
What do you got?
More NASA. More NASA info.
All right.
Did you hear about the last space shuttle launch? The courageous bat that went out in a blaze of glory by hanging on the space shuttle just as it launched.
No. What? Sorry. Because I was kind of like dozing off, because I was thinking, you know, like space shuttle launches kind of went out, you know, in the 80s. People's interest, right? Even though it's still an amazing thing.
I'd love to see one. No, but a bat, like the animal.
Yeah.
It was, they found a bat on the side of the space shuttle.
Wow.
Right before the launch. And, you know, they thought it would go away. They like made some loud noises and stuff. They put off the sirens, but it wouldn't go away. They presumed that it was injured or something.
Yeah.
So this was all over the internet for whatever reason, because people have nothing better to do, but... apparently, I have nothing better to do than read it also. But, so it hung on until the space shuttle launched.
Yeah.
And, the space shuttle went into space. And
with it on it?
Well, who knows what happened to the bat, but I mean, a good way to go out, I guess. I mean, he was going to die anyways, probably.
That's so funny. It seems like to me, though, like this sounds like kind of like one of those things that NASA would be so anal about that they would discontinue the launch because of this bat wouldn't leave.
No, they couldn't delay it, so it wasn't going to do anything to
the schedule. The Super Hadron Collider, though, they'd probably stop it if the bat got in there.
Exactly. You know what's funny, though, is like, I bet you like more people read about this or cared about this launch just because of this damn bat.
Just
because
of the bat, yeah.
You know, because otherwise they wouldn't read about it or like care about it.
It's so true. It's so bad. True.
So yeah. So rest in peace, space bat. And,
well, it could still be alive.
No, there's no way.
Okay, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns about bats, email us at podcast.etc@gmail.com or post some comments on our blog at theetcpodcast.blogspot.com.
Yes.
I got some news that's
related to our podcast.
Like, yeah. It has to do with cars, and people don't really like cars. I know.
Well, some people do. I don't know where these people are and why they're not listening to this podcast.
Yeah. But one of our top shows that we watch all the time, Top Gear,
yes,
is starting up its new series again.
Sweet.
Series 13 is going to be starting towards the end of June. They can't say a specific date, but it's either going to be one of the last 2 weeks of June it's going to start up. So hopefully we'll afford that.
I think there's some nice cars that they're going to have this year that I definitely want to
check out. Yes. Yeah. I want to mention this about cars too. So Mercedes has the E-Class, you know, which is a very mob style kind of car, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, they have this option apparently called E-Guard.
Uh-huh.
Which I think it costs like $500,000. This option.
That's obviously not a real number, but okay.
No, it's something crazy like that. It's like $500,000 or something like that.
Okay.
And I'm not joking. And what this option does, okay, for your car,
yeah,
is it like makes it bulletproof and all this stuff like that.
Right.
And it's like, it's absolutely nuts. It adds like apparently a whole billion pounds like to your car.
That's definitely not a real
number. That's definitely not a real number. But when I read about this option, here, I'll bring it up right now. It's online.
That's right. We know how to use the internet.
11-8 News, okay? So you can never be too careful these days, which is why Mercedes-Benz is launching an armored version of the E-Class called the E-Guard, okay?
That's right.
So this thing, for security reasons, the E-Guard looks almost exactly the same. The E-Guard glass windows have been swapped out for polycarbonate units that stand up to 44mm Magnum handgun.
I still don't see 500,000, but continue.
Despite the thicker windows, the E-Guard's driver passenger side front windows can be rolled down.
Okay.
okay. As with most armored vehicles, the E-Guard comes with standard intercom system allowing occupants to safely communicate.
So wait, are they implying that none of the other windows roll down?
The rear windows can be fitted with the same function. Yeah, I guess... I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
All right, continue.
To cope with the added weight of the armoring, the E-Guard uses a special level 2, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
The E-Guard package can be had for the E300, blah, blah, blah. However, peace of mind doesn't come cheap.
Wait.
Yeah, I completely misquoted the price. But it's still really expensive.
Okay, here we go.
You have to add $58,000.
It's 10 times less, but okay.
Yeah, but it's still a crazy option.
That sounds more...
To get bulletproof glass and apparently crazy metal and stuff like that.
Like, who are these people, I guess? Like, I guess
it's Mercedes. Oh, who's going to buy it?
Who's going to buy it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But I thought that was pretty interesting when I read that. I was like, it's really crazy. But it probably is mostly
But they've offered that for a while now, like some similar stuff. Like,
really?
They've offered like bulletproof like glass and stuff for a while.
I haven't known
you
that.
The G-Wagon, you can get all... You can get the
G-Wagon as itself, I think, is just bulletproof.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so Shannon Rose is a contributing artist to our podcast for a long time. She's been super cool. She's a friend of a friend who I got to know through one gig, really. And, you know, she keeps in close contact with another artist that we play a lot. So on our Double Fat episode, we're going to play one from Shannon Rose and one from Rob Hing.
Yes.
So we'll start off this with Shannon Rose. This is a song that when I started listening to Shannon Rose's music, actually was one that I had in my original list that I was going to play on the podcast. And it took us 24 episodes to get to it, which is a good thing, though, which means that we got a lot of other artists in the meantime.
Yes.
But thank you, Shannon Rose, to let us play in this. Definitely. This is Say Something by Shannon Rose.
I don't want the light to come in.
From her album, Sing Me a Song, that was good friend Shannon Rose and the Thorns with their song, Say Something. She's playing a show at the Black Sheep Inn on June 7th, so definitely check that out. For those who don't know, the Black Sheep Inn is actually a great, great venue. Check out the website. I believe it's blacksheepinn.com. Yeah, theblacksheepinn.com. We'll post that on our website.
Definitely want to check that place out.
Yeah, it's a great place to see some great shows, and for really cheap, too. Like sometimes it's like $10 to get in, and it's just like M. Griner plays there a lot, and it's a great little town, too. It's in... I don't even know where it is. What's that little town that it's in?
We're probably offending some people.
Wakefield.
Yes, yeah,
Wakefield,
there you go.
It's in Wakefield, and it's a great... the first time I went there, you're driving down the main street, and it's just right by the water, and it's just a great little community. It's amazing in the summer. So June 7th, check out Shannon Rose and the Thorns. Yes. Also check out her website, shannonroseandthethorns.com. You can buy her album off there, and I believe they're starting up a podcast soon, so be sure to check that out for sure.
Nice.
Okay. Any news?
News. Let's see.
Not that we've been doing news this entire time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's go on to technology.
All right.
Some new gadgets. Did you hear about... I didn't even know Intel makes laptops. But did you hear about this new Intel laptop?
Yes, that one.
That's good.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't know when they're coming out with this or if it's ever going to come out. But Intel released a prototype that they co-designed with some design studio, and this thing's absolutely gorgeous. I think it's the world's thinnest laptop, actually. It's 0.7 inches thick.
Okay.
So if you take a penny and you put it on its side, it's thinner than that.
Wow. Like
the entire thing.
That's pretty crazy.
I bet you
that's how they advertise it too, right?
Well, that's just a picture that I saw.
Okay.
So I guess so, yeah. But it's still supposed to have like pretty fast components in it. Intel's going to put their like latest processors and everything in it.
Right.
So anyways, that's...
What's it called?
That's a good question.
Be sure to look out for this laptop that nobody knows what it's called.
Metro.
Yeah. I wonder how...
The Metro.
Like, have you heard about the Dell Adamo?
Yeah.
That looks pretty cool, too, but apparently it's not so good because it's... I don't know.
Like, ridiculously expensive?
Yeah, it's ridiculously expensive, not that powerful. Like Dell is treading into Apple territory and not doing it very successfully, I think. Intel might do good, though. 0.7 is amazing. Like, that looks pretty nice.
Well, I mean, it's just like, I didn't know Intel made laptops.
I don't think they did, though, until now.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's pretty cool.
And it seems more of a design... an exercise in design than an actual useful gadget.
Right.
But there you go if you want a really thin laptop.
Staying on technology news.
Yeah.
Google Street View.
Yes.
Is this amazing little
amazing thing. And scary at the same time.
I don't know if people know what this is, but for those who don't know, Google Street View is basically this way where you can go into Google Maps and you can like go into Street View and you'll actually be able to kind of virtually walk around the streets. It's a pretty cool feature and it's been brought to the iPhone and it's a very cool thing. And when I saw it, I was like, that's awesome. I can't wait till it comes to Ottawa.
Yeah.
Well, Canadian fans out there, Google Street View is potentially coming to Canada. However, there is massive controversy, namely because, why, Aaron?
Privacy, I guess.
Privacy issues.
Yes, right.
Yeah, the whole thing
close
is...
your blinds
yes.
of your houses, unless you want to be on Google.
Unless you want to be on Google Street View. Because the whole way this thing works is there's this truck that is mounted, I believe, with 30-odd cameras.
And I can't wait to see this thing. I want to get on... Like, I want to hold a huge sign or something.
Yeah, it's not that impressive to see, though. It's just a little... truck with
oh, it's pretty
pole.
Cool. It's going to be driving around.
Yeah.
And I want to try to get on it.
Yeah,
like,
that's all right.
On a picture,
but you said that I can't wait to see this thing as if it's like some amazing
thing.
Well,
it'll be
right?
cool though, right? Because
it'll
be like
cool.
this like Google truck and
yeah.
you have cameras on it.
Yes.
So Google, hire me.
So basically what it is, people, is that it's like 30-odd cameras on this truck that this truck just drives around taking all these pictures that it basically stitches together for the virtual world. Now, obviously, the big privacy concern is that, well, now all of a sudden we're publishing pictures of people online, right? And, you know, what if people are doing certain activities in their house or blah, blah, blah.
Why did you go there?
I don't know.
You think that's the main concern?
I don't know. It just seems like a concern.
Okay.
Wasn't there some issue with the naked man standing in a window or something like that?
I really don't know what you're talking
about. Am I making this up completely?
I don't know.
Well, there's privacy issues and all this jazz and stuff like that. So apparently the Canadian government is asking the head of Google. I don't know if they've done this already because this might be old news, but they're asking Google to explain to the council or whatever the people are kind of, you know, just kind of argue for it. I don't think the Canadian government is necessarily against it. I think they just have some concerns and they want to address those concerns. And if they didn't address those concerns, they'd probably be voted out. But not for other reasons apparently, but whatever. So Google Street View is coming to Canada, to most major cities. It's like Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, Ottawa, all these kind of major
Sweet.
Cities. I think it's a great thing, you know, like,
yep.
There's this huge debate on CBC Radio, The Point, which is a show, by the way, that's being canceled because of budget cuts.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's a great show. But they had this big debate about this thing. And I don't know what your views are on this are. Like, what... Like, I think it's... I'm the kind of person, I think, who wants to be everywhere and wants to be online right. and all this stuff like that. So it doesn't... It's not a big concern to me. But what do you think? Like...
Oh, me?
Yeah, like, in terms of privacy concerns.
I have, like, no privacy concerns at all.
Well, I mean, I know you personally don't, but what do you think for other people? Do you think,
for other people? Yeah, I'm sure some people will care.
I know. But do you think they're legit concerns, though?
Well, I mean, I guess so. You got to realize also, you know, maybe there's issues with people in, like, in sensitive positions and whatnot. What? Also, that don't want, like...
What do you mean sensitive positions?
Well, you know, like, diplomats and stuff like that. Okay. So
because I was going back to the house thing.
The house,
you know,
that's another type of sensitive position.
The UTC podcast is going a little bit wrong.
That's what you can expect in the new year. No, I guess, like, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of, like, anytime I'm against this whole paranoia about, you know, technology and information and whatever, right? So a lot of people seem to just be opposed because, like, it's just like a reflex reaction for them.
Yeah. Okay. You know, that I'm against.
You know, it's like
it's not really founded in anything.
You know, but I'm sure there's like. There's certain concerns, but it's not like Google doesn't let you have a say in, you know, what's on there, because, you know, there have been people with because they've already been implementing this in the States, right? So a lot of people's houses are on there,
right?
And, you know, if you find your house on there and you don't want it to be on there, you can tell Google not to put it on there. And
oh, really? Okay. So what do they do though? Do they just like blur out the picture or what?
That's basically it. They just blur it out. So I mean, it's like, you know, like, are people gonna know who's like it's your house and. And are people going to, like, what are they going to do with that information?
Well, this is the argument that they brought up on The Point, right? Was that, I mean, besides that, I mean, it's not like anybody can walk, like, somebody can walk down the street and see these houses, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, what was the actual argument, like, against it? Like, on the show, for example? Was there anything legitimate or?
Well, I think it was just the idea of, well, I actually can't remember, to be honest, but I think what the idea was the idea of, I've said idea like 30 times in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But is the fact that you're basically taking pictures of people and publishing them, right?
Yeah,
and generally you need that kind of permission.
Right.
Like if anywhere in film, right? If you're going to take a picture and you're going to put it in a film, you need permission from that person, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they started talking, like, anything that's published, you officially need the rights of what you're publishing, right?
Right.
And so I think there's this issue that they're kind of breaking law in that way, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the official argument, but that is an argument, right?
Yeah. I mean, it seems to me that maybe, like, it's something that people, like I said, it's like an underlying, like, sentiment against this sort of thing. It's like, what was the guy? Who's the author? It's 1984 that was, like, something.
George Orwell, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Very, this kind of, like, you know, the same thing.
Big brother thing, yeah.
Yeah, so, and, but I mean, you know, so, like, maybe people think that, you know, bad people can use this information, right?
Right.
To, like, look at their lives and steal their identity.
Right.
And whatnot. But, right. I mean, this is far from anything that's, I think, a threat. Like, if you look at, did you know I think it's in the UK, maybe just London. I'm not quite sure. But they've implemented now a very extensive video surveillance system.
Okay.
So it's kind of crazy. They can actually track
someone. Sorry, where is this?
I think London.
Yeah, I heard about this, actually. Yeah,
they can actually track someone, right? And they have video cameras. Like
in
everywhere.
The entire city. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I heard about this, yeah.
So they can actually track someone going from, like, the subway to, like, this front door of their house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, like, that stuff like that gets a little scary because it's real time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Whereas this is more just informational, like, it's a static picture of a location, so.
I guess the problem is that the intentions of Google are good and true, right? Because the thing is, I mean, obviously the perceived benefits are pretty apparent, right? Like, if you're going to a hotel, like, they were saying this on The Point too, like, if you're going to a hotel in a city that you've never been to, mm-hmm. like, you Google Street View, you can see the entrance and see exactly what it looks like,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of times, even when I use my GPS, right, and I go to a place, you know, I'll go down the street, like, when I was trying to find where my tires were,
yeah,
you know, it took me, I passed the place like 10 times exactly. before yeah. I found the place,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But I guess the thing is, it's always the idea of people using it for other reasons. That's the issue, right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to stalk somebody. But you're right. It's not real time. And it's kind of like, you know, archival pictures of this place, right?
Yeah, so. Yeah.
So I don't know. Like,
I think there's more good to it than any, like, sort of, you know, bad people might come up with. But
I have a feeling it's going to be fine. Like, I have a feeling, like, all this kind of, all this kind of hysteria is, I think they're going to let them do this, and they're going to realize it's just going to be part of like how we find information now, right? It's just going to be one of those new things, right? It's just like when Google Maps was introduced, it was such a great thing, right?
Yeah, well, there's also the whole thing about like there's like internet tourism now, like you or digital.
Yeah.
Digital tourism where this brings it a step further, you know, because like I love looking at the high-res Google Maps stuff. You
yeah.
know,
sometimes. And then like, the new Windows Live Maps, I mean, that's amazing,
yeah,
right?
So now it's like it takes it a step further. You know? Maybe you can't actually travel somewhere, but at least you can see Google Street View of it. So.
And I guess, and the thing is, I think like it's just going to be one of those things that when people start using it and realize the benefits of it, they'll be just like, you know, this thing's great, and it's not really the...
That's right.
Not that many people are using it for bad, hopefully, right?
Yeah.
Okay, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or if you have any thoughts about this debate about whether Google Street View is actually, you know, controversial or not, well, it's not controversial or not, whether you support it or not, email us at... podcast.etc@gmail.com or leave comments at theetcpodcast.blogspot.com. We'll be back in 10 seconds. Okay, welcome back to episode 24 of the ETC podcast on this fine April 5th, 2009. That theme will never stop being weird.
Yeah, I know.
That's the third version of our theme, and it just doesn't sit quite right as the other two are very nice and catchy and newsworthy.
I just want to say, sticking on the Google topic.
Didn't we just have a break not to talk about this?
Yeah. But on a less serious note here.
Okay.
They developed, like, you know, Google Labs, they develop a lot of things.
Yes.
And you can go in there, check it out, just Google Labs, and go in there, you can see what they're working on.
Yeah.
But I just heard about this little feature they want to add to like Gmail the other day.
Okay.
Basically, it's to prevent you from sending drunken emails.
What? Oh no, I heard about this. It kind of like,
so it asks you a skill testing question, like it asks you to do math or something.
Yeah.
Before you can send out an email.
Yeah, I totally heard about this.
If you're really drunk, there's no way you can solve the question.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So gotta love Google for doing something like that.
Good for Google. Yes. I want to mention some quick release dates for DVDs and Blu-rays, just to let people know. All the Oscar nominees are starting to come out now. Slumdog's already out. Frost Nixon, Wrestler's coming out April 21st. Curious Case of Benjamin Button's coming out May 5th. All great movies. Be sure to check them out. Although I haven't seen any of them except for Slumdog. Okay, I want to bring up something that happened to me on Friday night.
Okay.
I got really drunk and I tried to send an email and I, no. Okay, what happened was I went to see my friend Carly's show. She was in this Gilbert and Sullivan play. For those of you who don't know Gilbert and Sullivan, it's kind of like opera style, musical style. Very good. Very good show. Excellent. And no quabbles with that. That's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about was, okay, in the row in front of me, okay, and I couldn't stop thinking about this when it was happening. To my left, there were three... people around my age, so like say early 20s, you know, kind of mid 20s maybe, and then to my right in the row in front of me were kind of the, you know, typical demographic that goes to these shows. In other words, older people, right?
Yeah.
So 30, 40 year olds. Actually, these people are more like probably 40s, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's what happened. Basically, during the show, every now and then, the three people to my left, the younger people, okay, would every now and then start whispering to each other and start talking to each other, right?
Right.
And it was kind of evident that they knew somebody in the play, okay. And they were kind of like laughing and stuff like that. And they were kind of enjoying the show, right? And they really weren't causing that much distress to the entire crowd, right? It's not like they were yelling or talking really loud or the cell phones were going off or anything like that, right? The people to my right were kind of constantly giving them, you know, the snake, or what is it? The dirty eye, the snake eye, the... What do you call that?
Stink eye?
Stink eye. That's it.
Such a stupid term.
They gave them the stink eye and kept like looking at them really terribly. Yeah. And eventually one of them couldn't take it enough and said, could you please be quiet, blah, 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 blah,
oh,
right?
My God.
And I had this big conflict in my mind because... Yeah.
Should I punch them or not?
No. Because typically, right?
Oh, okay.
Typically, I would kind of be annoyed by people like that. I would be annoyed by people who are constantly talking through the play and it's like, you know, not respecting kind of the ambiance of the word, right? Yeah. Like, I hate when people talk in movies, right? Like, it really annoys me. But the conflict with me was that I was in that demographic and I didn't think that was that big a deal. And I started hating the people to my right because they were like old snooty people who are like, we go to these, you know, operas all the time and we're great and snooty. Well, they probably don't.
There was obviously some sort of like prejudice there.
Exactly. Like, they kept thinking, oh, we're better than these young people, right? And we're going to be really snooty towards them, right? And I don't know. What do you think? What do you think about this?
My opinion again.
Yeah.
It sounds, I don't know, it sounds like whatever you're thinking was justified. Like, I'd probably be annoyed too if, because it sounds like these other people weren't really causing that much of a disturbance.
I think that's my issue, right? Because they weren't really, it's like no one else really seemed to care them. But now it might have been different because I wasn't sitting right beside them.
Okay.
Right? I was like behind them, so they weren't causing any distress to me. But maybe if you were sitting right beside them, maybe they wouldn't annoy you. Like, what's your opinion of people like in theaters who talk?
Well, I mean, if it's really noticeable, it's super annoying.
Yeah.
But I mean, if it, like, if you can, if it's not really that much of an issue, I'm not one to really get annoyed. But
that's a good point. You really aren't. You're not the kind of person who would get annoyed. But but would you?
Like, it has to be, it has to be so distracting that I can't hear the movie or something.
Yeah. Well, but are you the kind of person though who's like, who will get distracted by something like that and your focus just kind of goes that way? Kind of ADD style?
No, not really.
No. Yeah.
The only thing.
That's why you should always go to IMAX shows, because the sound is just so loud that it never matters, right?
The only thing I would say that really does distract me and annoys me is gratuitous PDA.
I haven't really come across that often.
Yeah, not so cool, you know, where like, people are like just doing it on a park bench or something. So.
Yeah. You know, EGC podcast, again, trying to reel in the listeners, trying to get more than two listeners. We're trying to outreach to... To and speaking of that, outreaching to, you know, the sexual R-rated versions of our crowd.
Okay.
Go to YouTube, type in the word genitals, and play the first video that comes up.
Is it actually the first video?
It is the first video that comes up. It's a great video. Check it out.
Are you sure, though?
I'm almost positive.
Okay. Well, if it's... Well, okay, but you're not going to, like... What if another video comes up and people are just like, oh, that's gross.
Yeah, that's true. Then we'll get angry emails, and that'd be great.
Okay, yeah.
Any publicity is good publicity, right?
Okay, yeah.
But back to our discussion, I think like when I go to shows like that, right, I think I just unjustifiably get annoyed by all the old people there because I think they have this complex about themselves that they're these, you know, high class people.
Yeah.
You know, it happened. Actually, this happened before on the podcast. I think it was like episode, I can't remember. Some episode before. Remember I was talking about that time that I went to see this, talker about music. And there were these two old ladies who were like, are you guys studying music or blah, blah, blah? And I shut them down with all my music knowledge because they were being so annoying.
So you basically don't like old people?
Yes. And remember, this goes back to my whole cranky old people rant?
Yeah.
I really don't like old people. And
I think it's just the nature of like our society. Old people don't like young people.
It's true.
Young people don't like old people. So.
Yeah. And it's just that snootiness, you know? It's like I go to an opera and it annoys me. You're going to have to take over with some news because I need to cough.
Okay. news. Oh, okay. The Japanese. Japanese are awesome.
Okay.
And, you know.
They're not invading again, are they?
They're kind of known for making wacky stuff. Like, you always hear wacky stuff coming from Japan, right?
True. Apparently, it's a very crazy country.
Yeah, exactly.
And that has nothing to do with my Chinese heritage.
So get this, and I think you will kind of appreciate this. So they've invented, and you can buy this. It's like a novelty item, and I'll post a link, and you can go buy it. I think I'm gonna buy some.
Okay.
You can buy these, like, they call them e-cigarettes.
Yeah, I've heard about these. So did you see this on Engadget, or where did you see this?
My friend just sent it to me.
Okay, I've heard about these. Yeah, but go ahead,
it's basically a fake, like, electronic cigarette.
Yep.
And it's quite ingenious. Like, you can recharge its battery operated, I guess. So you plug into USB to recharge it. And somehow it can sense, like, when you inhale it, it has this little, like, light on the end, like LED.
Yep.
Like a variable, like, brightness LED.
Yeah.
And as you inhale it, it'll actually light up. Like, it'll actually light up orange.
Right.
And I don't know how it does that.
But isn't...
And then somehow, like, there's something in it that actually generates some sort of smoke.
Yeah.
Right? So there's actually smoke that's generated from it.
But doesn't this thing actually release, like, nicotine into your body, too?
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Isn't the website
was all Japanese.
I thought it was, like, an actual cigarette. It's just a reusable electronic one.
Oh, so I shouldn't buy this.
No, actually, I don't think you should.
Probably shouldn't be smoking this.
I completely neglected that.
I was just about to buy it. But that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Or maybe not. I could be completely wrong about this.
Okay, well, no, I looked at the site and it's completely Japanese.
Yeah.
There's just a cool video about it with a Japanese dude smoking this thing. So.
Right. I'm trying to find the article right now. I can't seem to find it. E-cigarettes. Here we go.
Okay, so the point is that there's less waste. Like, you still get the...
Yeah.
You still get, like, the effects of a cigarette, but there's less. You're not throwing cigarettes. You're not buying like cigarettes all the time.
All right, here we go. We've seen e-cigarettes before, and no one was really surprised to hear that inhaling liquid nicotine might be the same. Yeah. So apparently, you actually do have the health effects of this. Actually, come to think of it, why were you considering buying this even before that fact?
Well, because it's like a neat novelty item. Because you know, I'll have it like on like my shelf or bookcase or whatever. Yeah, or like, okay. Whatever. And like when people come over, I'm like, check this out.
Man, just start smoking.
Yeah.
That's you know, it sounds like something I would actually do.
Well, I mean, it's just like,
when it comes down to it, if smoking was healthy or neutral, I'd actually probably do it.
Well, yeah, that okay. But I'm just like thinking in terms of a novelty item, you know, just like something interesting.
Right.
So, but maybe a little less interesting now that it's just a real cigarette, just in electronic form.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be interesting if I picked that up.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Okay, we're coming to a close on this episode 24 of the ETC podcast, your one-stop shop for entertainment, technology, and cars. On this fine April 5th, 2005, yeah. We want to thank Shannon Rose, as always. She's always like such a good contributor to the ETC podcast, so we want to thank her for giving us permission to play all our songs, and we really want to thank her for that. And especially because she's getting really big now, and you know, people can get big and snooty.
What?
No, yeah, she's exactly totally it. Cool. So thanks for that. Stay tuned. We got part two of our Double Fat episode. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, email us at podcast.etc@gmail.com or post comments at theetcpodcast.blogspot.com. But this is it for episode 24 for the ETC podcast. My name is Casey Lee, and sitting next to me, as always, is
Aaron Secker.
See you later.
I need an e-cigarette.